B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are you on fire?
People need to chillax.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb.
Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Ram-a-lam-a ding dong, rock and roll is king.
Hello, this is Bill Belichick. I want to reach out to you in these uncertain and unprecedented times to let you know that I and the New England Patriots are behind you. We are all in this together. Thank you to our heroic medical professionals, doctors, nurses, medical workers, and others who are selflessly and courageously doing their job to take care of others in need. We have heard your stories and seen some of your great work. You are truly champions and warriors. We are facing a difficult opponent. It will take teamwork, discipline, and commitment to do the right things all the time. That includes staying at home. I encourage everyone to shelter in place for as long as necessary as we fight this virus together. There are plenty of things we cannot do right now, but let's focus on what we can do. We can adapt, we can adjust, and we can make better decisions right now for the betterment of the future. As I tell our team, let's keep stringing good days together, and we will get through this.
Ah, we got a party going here. Hey guys.
Hey guys.
Partying.
Uh-huh.
98.5 of Sports Hub, it is Toucher and Rich, 6:04 in the Town Fair Tire Studios, and we missing Fred? Dan O?
Apparently. For the moment, yes.
Okay, good. Just having a hard time.
We are efforting.
Efforting, okay, good. Yeah, I mean, you're going to have technical difficulties when everyone is in different places, and now everyone's out of the studio.
Could be weather-related, you know, it's raining here.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure that Twitch is a joy to watch right now. Like, if you were to log into Twitch, what would you see? Is it just the Wallach head inside the studio?
It's a giant Wallach head that Nick put up with, you know, and I think the Sports Hub logo is over to the side, so yes.
We should have Nick have to mime us. Like, just act out all of us. Put on a show for the people who are logging into Twitch. Seeing that none of us are in that studio at the time, I'm not quite sure how that's going to work out. Now, it's funny, I turned on the NBC Sports Boston yesterday, and I see that, you know, Maz is, you know, inside of his office. And what's great is that, you know, people are screen capping little tiny things in the background of his office. He's got a pillow with his dog, a picture of his dog on it. He's getting crapped for that. And Maz is going to be like, dude, my wife bought it for you. What do you want me to do? So he's getting crapped on for that. And then you've got Felger, who decides to broadcast outside. He's like in the woods. So, you know, he's Jungle Man out there.
Oh, my God.
And Zolak somehow got, like, or who was the guy? Was it Zolak or Bertrand who was the banner? Like, the 98.5 The Sports of, like
Beetle,
backdrop.
Beetle, like,
them.
Took the banner from the station, brought it home, and, like, papered his wall with it. Yes.
Okay. Well, I mean, like, okay, Wallach, if I was to have a camera in front of you right now, like, yeah. what would be behind you?
A framed photo of 6 Ken Griffey Jr. cards.
Oh, no, come on. Now you're joking. Like, are you really,
I'll take a picture of it and send it to you.
You're really that stereotypical? Like, that's exactly what you would have behind you? The man with @KenGriffeyRules as your Twitter handle?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. There is a framed photo of the Ken Griffey Jr. cards. There are 6 of them and a Seattle Mariners logo in the frame. And next to that, a picture of the a black and white photo of the former Big 3, Bird, Parrish, and McHale.
Oh, okay. All right. So that's your sports office. That's where
it's my office, baby.
Okay. All right.
Hell yeah, it is.
See, this is why I'm so excited for this virtual draft that they've got, because you get to see everyone's bookshelf.
And wait, Rich. What do you have?
Oh, it's nothing. I'm not kidding. It's a white wall. There's nothing. There's literally nothing behind me because I'm using like this corner of a room that. You ever seen like an oddly built room that just for some reason you don't know what happened in the design of it? Like there's just a weird, like, nub or part that doesn't match the rest of it, that's where we just jammed a desk. Like, there's literally no reason for this little nook that I'm in to exist other than, I don't know, downstairs there was, like, a fireplace and there's extra, like, an extra room that they just had to stack something on top of. So, yeah, there's nothing. And I don't even know if we were on TV whether I would have gone through the effort to put something behind me. It's just literally like a boring-ass white wall.
Like a tour photo of your former band. Just put it up behind you.
Oh, yeah. I got plenty of those sitting around. You know what? I would maybe blow up a picture of me with Fat Vince Neil. Even back in the day when we played a bunch of shows with him, he was still pretty fat. So, yeah, maybe something like that. Maybe I would just get a picture of you and put it behind me. I think that's maybe what I would do. Just blow up a giant picture of just... You know, the Wallach. No, I would do goateed Wallach. I would do Casanova Wallach is what I would put behind my head. Jeez. But I'm excited because you've got right there, you know, Bill Belichick in that clip that I played earlier where he's, you know, rocking jeans. You know, that's in his living room, and he's got the Bon Jovi book prominently displayed there in his living room. So you're going to get, like, a very funny inside look at a lot of, like, weirdos. And yesterday we had Will Brinson on. And he said, you know what's great is that with Zoom, you can, like, change your background. And he said, how much you want to bet Mark Davis turns his place into, like, a virtual Hooters? Like, the background is just like, I'm hanging out at the Hoots. Yeah, oh, that would be the best.
He'll have, like, boneless wings in front of him with, like, spicy sauce. You know, like, a little bit is dropped on his white shirt.
Oh,
know?
Sure.
We're going to take that guy from Alcorn State, you know, something like that.
Yeah, that would be pretty fantastic. But so it's another day in the quarantine. I think that this might be, we're almost at a month now since that we've been doing the remote broadcast. I think that this Saturday it'll be a month. Man. From when, you know, I finally started setting up the studio here. And this is going to go on for a while too. And the one thing that pisses me off is that every time I see a video of people gathered in mass, it's rage that I feel. And it happened when Sullivan's Castle Island, when they showed all those people down there. Have you seen the pictures that they put in the Boston, I think it was the Boston Globe who had them yesterday, of people down at the Esplanade over off the Charles?
I have seen it, and I could not agree more. We're all kind of sacrificing for the greater good here. I mean, you've sequestered yourself on an island, for God's sake. And I'm, you know, my kids haven't been in school for almost 4 weeks, and, you know, we're telling them we can't go play with their friends. You know, they're trapped inside. We're trapped inside. And we're all kind of sacrificing in the hopes of flattening the curve. You keep hearing that. And it seems to be working a little bit, but for every day that you feel you're doing good, there's somebody or some group of people doing their best to make your efforts useless. And that's the most angering thing of all.
And, John, just when you're starting to feel, like, all cocky and you're feeling like, you know, big head, and you're mocking the people down south, and you see these beaches in Florida and they're all, like, you know, tons of people walking around, and then the hillbilly governor of Georgia is saying, we didn't know you couldn't be asymptomatic, and then they finally close it down, and you're like, yeah, jackasses, get with the program. Look what we've been doing. We've been shut. And then that happens. And then you're like, we're no worse than those hillbillies down in Florida. We are no worse than the rednecks down in Georgia. We're no worse than all of these places where you're seeing pictures of everyone congregating and hanging out and I don't know, the pointing at the sky all in Utah. This was infuriating, and I know it's going to continue to happen like this as soon, because the weather got nice for 2 days in a row. Yeah. The weather was nice, and you know how it is living anywhere in New England. Like, the first hint of anything over, like, 50 degrees, yeah, it's like the city and the towns just barf out people. You've been holed up inside for 4 or 5 months, and you'll do anything to get outdoors. But what happened yesterday and the day before down at the Esplanade is just rage-inducing. Like, I want all of those people to go to jail. It makes me so angry. You're just, and then you turn on the TV, and not to get, like, serious for a minute, but then you just see the number of deaths and the number of, like, employees at the hospital that just keep going up, and you just want to shove that in their face and go, look what you are doing, and look what you are making worse by doing this. And it just, to no end, it pisses me off. And it's like one of those things where I found so much joy in mocking the rednecks down south. And then I see that, and I'm like, dude, we're no different. We are
Think about this, though, Rich. Ultimately, you know, the news that the curve might be flattening in New York City and around the country, and you have our federal officials saying this is good news. The problem with that is there are people who have been quarantining that will see that and go, oh, okay, we're safe now.
I know, and, you're right. It'll get people kind of to slack a little bit and to keep it, you know, like they'll notice. And maybe that's why you continue to have doomsday people on TV going, dude, you got to, you know, this does, because it's going down doesn't mean you can go out now. I mean, you can have another rise, another resurgence. But I saw that, and I just want to, arrest all of them. Throw them in a van and just...
It pissed me.
I don't know. Yeah, a big corona-infected van. Have them all go in there together.
But Rich, I guarantee you that if you asked any of those people, they would think that they were going out to do their social distancing walk, and they weren't thinking they were going to encounter that many people. You know, like, it's just weird. The sun and the nice weather just does that to people, especially this early in April when people think that they've been cooped up all winter, and they really haven't been because it wasn't really a bad winter. They're just like, oh, go for a walk, or I'll go to the Esplanade, you know?
Yeah.
And then, you know, I mean,
and then that happens.
The
exactly.
Mosh pit, like,
yes.
Get the hell out of there. All right. Well, I just saw that yesterday, and I just said, all right, well, I can't rip on the South anymore. we suck too. The only difference was is that they've had nice weather, and that's why they were doing it. And now that as soon as we get nice weather, all of a sudden we're exactly like they are. All right, well, let's talk about some of the stuff we got going on. 617-779-0985. Starting with Dana White, by the way, has just gone insane. And it's actually fairly entertaining how much he's lost his mind and how the ends he's going to try to continue with the UFC. Also, we got some news on the draft. Are the coaches and the GMs getting paranoid that they might be hacked? We'll get to that right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Toucher. I didn't get to be a sports expert until 2009.
Rich.
You would think you were at a children's birthday party.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed. It's Toucher and Rich.
What happened last night? 98.5, a Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. Looks like after two unbelievable days, it's going to be raining for the next three, and I think it's going to get nice again this weekend. So there you go. Trapped inside with the rain once again. In the meanwhile, are you ready for the future? The NFL's first 100% virtual draft is about to be held 2 weeks from now, which means everyone, of course, in a virtual draft wearing those huge goggles on their eyes and walking around with their hands out as they wander around a virtual NFL land filled with 1,000 Andy Reids battling an army of Jim Tomsulas to probably see who is the most flatulent in the kingdom. Anything is possible in virtual NFL land. But listen, having to work virtually via Skype, Zoom, or FaceTime is really pissing off some coaches. So much that a couple of them lobbied for the league for these things called virtual timeouts if teams experience technical issues during the draft. That's right. If we F up and our computer equipment goes down and we can't figure it out, then we need a little bit of extra time. And to that I say, dude, you've been making calls. Well, just use the phone. Yeah. Talk to each other on the phone. You can do a conference call. And I believe that in many cases, a lot of different teams did conference calls in the past. Like, they're talking as if this, you know, this equipment is something that hasn't been ever used or tested in the past 20 years. There's phones. At a worst case scenario, you can dial up somebody and talk to them. Yep. Boy, they're really kicking and screaming through all this.
I will also say this. I, I, I wonder what it looks like. Is it going to be like one of those fantasy draft rooms where you just like, you know, there are rankings in front of you and you get to choose one? Or is it one of those situations where, you know, you have to type in the name and send it? Or, I mean, are there people in a chat room next to you, like, teasing you? I mean, how does this work exactly?
It's the Google Docs, man. You just write in the name, and then just like our phone screener with Nick.
All right.
Just got it to where we could all see, just type in something, and all of a sudden, voila, everyone's got it. Well, one of the most paranoid people, or one of the most paranoid coaches about the problems that a virtual draft could bring, is John Harbaugh, surprise, surprise, who's fairly paranoid about another team breaking the rules during all this. You see, Harbaugh imagines a world where, quote, bad actors could hack into the Baltimore Ravens Zoom calls and steal their draft secrets. Like, is somebody going to disguise themselves as, what's the name with the guy with the slick back hair who owns the Ravens? What's that dude's name?
Bisciotti.
Yeah, Bisciotti. So you're going to get some guy, dude who is an extra on The Sopranos to dial in and say he's Bisciotti, and all of a sudden he's going to get the playbook for the draft. Like, what
remember
is he talking about?
Hey, you remember that guy who pranked the Buffalo Bills GM, Buddy Nix?
Yes.
Remember that guy?
Yes. I do remember that guy who called in.
That's what he's worried about.
Well,
worried about something
said,
like that.
So Harbaugh said, quote, every time I read something in like the Wall Street Journal or the New York Times that talks about how messed up Zoom is or some of these other deals, I immediately text it to our IT people and they assure me that we are doing everything humanly possible to keep that from happening. He said, I really wouldn't want the opposing coaches to have our playbook or draft meetings. And the fact that he said a bad actor would be able to come in and steal things is just phenomenal. I would give Ed, what's that?
Greg Brady stole the playbook from another team. Mm-hmm. And he also stole a goat from the other team.
Now, did he use bad acting to do it? Like John Harbaugh said that he would. That's what he said. Someone could come in as an imposter and steal their stuff.
Well, absolutely. I mean, Greg was subterfuge is how he got into the other team.
I just love that hacking into Zoom. I would give anything to have the Zoom password for the Raiders meeting. I would just buy a bunch of cameos from random celebrities, like, I don't know, Emmanuel Lewis, Tanya Roberts, just to see who gets excited first, Mark Davis or John Gruden. Hey, who's this random? What, Emmanuel Lewis, look at you. I remember when you got carried away by a bunch of balloons. Can you do that for me?
Yeah, you were so light. The balloons just took you right away.
and then there's another whole thing that occurred to me yesterday. What the hell happened to the punishment that was coming down for the Patriots videotaping scandal? You know, the one that happened 4 months ago? Wouldn't it be kind of important to know if you're getting fined any picks before the actual draft itself?
I'm assuming they're busy with other things.
Well, you could say that, and I know this whole coronavirus thing has happened, but if the NFL has decided to go about their business as if nothing is changing, then this is a fairly important thing to get squared away before the draft if, as everyone seems to be reporting, draft picks are more than likely what their punishment is going to be. It seems odd that it would take this long in the first place, and now we're sitting here, what, 2 weeks away from the draft, and we still don't even know. And John, you mentioned something in the update that I didn't know about. What did you say about them wanting to add rounds to the draft?
Pittsburgh Steelers GM Kevin Colbert, who's one of the longest tenured GMs in the league, has said because there are people, and he's theorizing now, but what it really means is he's not ready, is that he didn't get a chance to see everyone because of the coronavirus pandemic. So what he wants is an extra 3 rounds tacked on to the end of the draft to give him, well, he didn't put it this way, but this is the way I read it, to give him a larger margin for error. You're going to miss on a few as you get later into the draft, so why not allow 3 extra guys to come to you so if you mess up a couple of picks, you'll still have 2 more that are worth it?
I don't have a problem with that. Like, I mean, well, who cares? You know, sure, let them draft extra guys. I mean, they more than likely won't make the team, but, I mean, is there anybody kicking and screaming that could possibly happen?
How it used to be. I mean, they used to have how many rounds? 12?
Yeah.
I think they used to have 12 rounds of the draft. Now it screws the players because if you get drafted that late, you're stuck with that team and that you can't, like the Danny Woodheads of the world can go and shop themselves around. But
yeah, that's true. And you're stuck with the slotted salary too. So
yes. So because it's always better not to get taken in the 7th round.
Yeah.
It's always better
if you're a marginal prospect, say after round 5, you know, round 6, round 7, that's when teams usually take a big risk. And you'd prefer not to get drafted. You're like, all right, that's fine. Don't stick me with Pittsburgh and a salary of $500,000. If I know I can play and there's a team that really wants me out there, let's get into a bidding war. You know what I'm saying? And maybe right. I make $1 million, which it yeah. doesn't sound like much, but it's more than you would have made if you were taken in the eighth round.
But as far as the teams are concerned, that seems like a pretty fair thing to give them, because he's right. You're going to have some people that you are going to draft, and because you weren't able to get medicals and do all that stuff. I mean, Fred, you said it best. You know, you're going to get medicals on the guys in the first round, or at least the top of the first round. But second, third, fourth rounds, I mean, that's where it gets difficult. And you're going to swing and you're going to miss on a couple of guys that you probably wouldn't have picked if you would have had the time to research all that. So I got no problem with them extending that. You're right. The players might get a little bit screwed, but I think it's ultimately fair to the teams if you're able to do that, if you can't end up giving them access to the information that they would normally have. So I don't think it's a bad idea. Now, while the NHL is trying to hammer out a plan for hockey to return in some way, shape, or form, my favorite form being a weird-ass playoff schedule that's been proposed that takes place in either entirely Fargo, North Dakota, or someplace near Storyland in New Hampshire. But in the meantime, Bruce Cassidy was asked what it's like having to prepare his team for basically the unknown.
How much time are we going to have? I think that becomes the first question. What are we working with? Have we got 2 weeks? Do we have a week? Do we have 3 weeks? I think you have to identify what your timeline is first and then map out your schedule accordingly so you're ramping up and not, you know, kind of jumping right in too quick, or the opposite where you're not ready, because you know, you can get off to a bit of a slow start coming out of the regular season. October here, there's going to be very little room for error, if any. I don't no idea if we play league games. That would factor into how you prepare as well, but our guys are very, very professional in their approach, so I don't believe they're going to come back and not be focused and ready to go if they get the word. So for us, I think getting back into work mode will be an easy transition, you know, if and when we're able to do that.
Well, one member of the Bruins who's in a weird situation is Torrey Krug, because if the season gets canceled, there's a pretty big chance that Krug may have played his last game as a Bruin. Here, Torrey was asked about just that.
I think for anyone that's been through this, and obviously we're all in a relatively similar situation, you know, there's so many unknowns, and you can only control so much of that. And for me personally, I really hope I did not play my last game as a Boston Bruin. And it's been a place for me and my family to grow, and my love for the game and playing in front of these fans is, you know, it's been very special to me.
He said also yesterday that he hadn't received any kind of calls or anybody from the Bruins trying to extend him or work out a new contract. So that's still sitting there in limbo, which obviously doesn't seem to bode very well right now.
Well, hold on, Rich. I mean, look, the NHL salary cap is tied to revenue that's generated. And obviously the coronavirus pandemic is going to crush every league. But in the National Hockey League, where, you know, the cap number isn't exactly large to begin with, how bad is the cap going to look next year? And can they afford Torrey? I mean, they traded David Backes to create some space. It looked like they were going to be able to re-sign Krug, but no one knows what the cap's going to look like next year.
They're completely tied into their revenue. More than any sport is based on attendance and ticket sales. So, yeah, they could be completely screwed there.
But listen, when it comes to the Bruins, there's truly only one question that I think we all want answered, and that is, what does Torrey think about Char's assessment that Tuukka Rask has a massive farting problem?
Torrey, I'll ask you how much grief you guys gave Chara about talking about the gas of Tuukka Rask and how that went nationwide, countrywide, Canada, everywhere else.
I was waiting for that to come up, to be honest. That was one of the things I expected, you know, you guys to bring up right away. But a little bit back and forth. I've actually talked to Z quite a bit over this break, probably more than I normally do. So it's actually funny, you know, thinking I never thought in a million years it would come out of Zdeno's mouth. And when it did, it was like there's a bit of a shock factor. But yeah, we've given him a little bit of grief. I think we gave Tukes a little bit of grief as well. And it's just funny that it's out there.
The way he farts.
That's right, Zdeno.
His farts are pretty bad.
The word farts in any accent is funny.
The way he farts.
What's that?
What a non-answer by Krug.
Yeah, well, I knew you were going to ask me about that. Yep, and it's been asked about. So, yep, Tuukka Rask. Yep, that was.
Yeah, I mean,
asked.
You know, having some fun with it. I mean, the guy said the guy's farting. I mean, let's have some fun.
Why would you dance around that?
I don't know. I don't know. Listen, Pasternak jumped right in. Pasternak's a much bigger star. And he jumped right in and piled on. Come on, Krug.
Well, it was all positive. He said that he liked chicken wings and everything, but the farts would not dissuade him from rooming with Rask on the road.
No, because he had a good sauna.
That's right, and they could play Monopoly.
Monopoly.
They could play Monopoly.
Yeah, what's up, guys?
Yeah, thank you very much, dear.
I do.
Or thank pasta.
You. Yeah. Or whatever. All right, Rich, what is coming up?
All right, well, Chris Sale speaks, and on top of that, let's get to this Dana White idea that he's got to save the UFC.
Oh, that's right, the Big Island. We will be right back.
Toucher and Rich.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Boston sports fans start their day with Toucher and Rich.
No, Fred, come on, man. This is a family radio show.
No, it's not. Not really.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oh, why do you do this to me? Why do they play Motley Crue? Vince Neil, where are you?
This was the summer of great concerts. Like, I mean, you heard me say it 20 times before the whole coronavirus thing hit. I couldn't remember a summer that had this many good shows coming, and now not officially canceled, Fred, but it's gonna happen. There's no way that Crue show makes it to Fenway. No way.
What's the date on it?
End of August. No, beginning of August. I think it's the beginning of August.
Or end of July.
Boy, I'll have to take a look. To have a whole crowd at Fenway, I don't know about that, man. That'd be weird.
Know. Plasma's being donated. Everything's happening.
Imagine having to test everyone walking into a Motley Crue concert. People are already sick anyway. Half the people have diseases anyway going into
this. Oh, man. Well, that's all the more reason to get at it, to get after it.
Right. They'll get everyone with a ticket showing up, and after testing everyone, it'll be like a quarter full. It wouldn't even be like for the coronavirus. It'll just be for other infectious diseases.
Yeah. I mean, you might as well enjoy it. Yeah. I mean, so we'll see.
That's a good point. Well, maybe they only let you in if you've got a disease, and then they'll make a ton of money. Then it'll be like, almost a full house.
Well, Vince Neil will get paid triple.
Hey, that he will. So, speaking of baseball stadiums, the NHL wants to quarantine players in Bumblefart, North Dakota. Major League Baseball wants to quarantine their players in Phoenix in the middle of the summer. I'll take North Dakota. Thank you. That sounds like hell. But yesterday, Chris Sale, fresh off his Tommy John surgery, was asked about possibly playing up to 4 months in quarantine. And he had this to say.
I think it's going to be tough. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I could look at my kids just through a screen for 4 or 5 months. Same thing goes with my wife, just not being able to be around. That's a long time. But, people have done it in harsh scenarios, I guess. But I think there's a lot of figuring out to do. I think there's a right way to do this. And I'm confident that Major League Baseball, the Players Association, all the owners, all the teams, players, I think that we're going to be able to find a way to come together and iron this stuff out and figure out a way that's safe and a way that's going to please the masses.
You know what? There's more info coming out about this potential quarantined baseball experiment. Among the proposals, a computer-monitorized strike zone so that the umpire doesn't have to stand close to the catcher. They should have had that anyway, in my opinion. I think that strike zone thing is something they should have already implemented. On top of that, the players will not be in the dugout. Instead, they'll be spread out throughout the stands so as to maintain distance from each other. So one question about all that. If you're so concerned about maintaining space, then how the hell are you going to tag out a guy at home? How are you going to hold a guy at first if this is the way that if you're that if you really want everyone spaced out, you can't play baseball that way. Like the game of baseball involves some sort of contact at some point during the game. I don't know. It just seems like no one thought through any of this, and they just threw it out there.
Honestly, I mean, pitcher holds the baseball, throws it to the catcher. Catcher's touching the same baseball. I mean, it's impossible. It's impossible to be 100% sure about any of this.
Well, how about like the sweat that goes on the baseball and everyone's throwing it around? Yeah, I mean, whatever you've exactly. got is going to be on the ball. I mean, no one's really thought through a lot of this. But speaking of all of that, you remember at the beginning of spring training, Chris Sale missed some time there with flu-like symptoms. Mm-hmm. Well, now Chris Sale is saying that he may have possibly had the coronavirus.
Honestly, 100, yeah, no doubt. Like, that's been talked about a while, and I actually want to see, I don't know if there's a test now, but I think they're working on a test to see if you have antibodies for it, like meaning that means you've had it, like to take a test to see if you've had it.
Right.
I mean, it's crazy to look at my symptoms and think about the symptoms of, you know, people that have the COVID-19 virus and some of the similarities. We may never know, but I'm definitely hoping not.
He said he was having a hard time breathing, you know, flu-like symptoms pretty much matched up almost exactly with the type of things that you would find with the coronavirus. At that time, he's right. Nobody really knew what to look for. So, I mean, be sure he might have had it at that time. And obviously there was everyone down there at camp as well. But if you think that baseball with no fans couldn't be any more eerie, in Taiwan, they'll be using robot fans for the upcoming season. The Rakuten Monkeys, who play in the Chinese Professional Baseball League, they're going to start their season on Saturday, and facing the reality of playing in empty stadiums, the team decided it will put robot mannequins in the stands dressed in the team colors.
And How many?
Okay, so I've seen a picture, because I guess this isn't the first time this has happened. Because they've had, I think like in 2004... the Hanwha Eagles created a section of robot fans with the ability to hold signs, do the wave, and cheer.
Why?
And I guess that what you could also do is that if you're a fan watching it on TV, like your face would be on a screen that was on the robot's head. So it looks like a bunch of heads. I mean, that might be the most like dystopian like image ever. Like virtual robot fans at the game who are able to stand up and yay and cheer. It's just like being there, it seems like. Nothing creepy about that at all. Nothing doomsday-ish about that in the least. So welcome like to the future,
seat,
and the future sucks. No,
every
no.
seat is a robot?
Not every seat. Just they're going to fill up a bunch of sections. I mean, you think they got enough rope? Well, they probably do.
No, they probably do. I mean, you saw Short Circuit. I mean, anything is possible.
Johnny Five, you know?
Yeah, you could have put your Johnny Fives in there.
So Dana White has just been hysterical through all this. Like, he really does. He does not want to stop putting on these fights. So Dana White has said, you know what, dude, let's get Fight Island. No, here's the best part. On top of Fight Island, which we'll talk about in a moment, he thought about potentially, you know how the state of California doesn't make sure that there's no kind of gatherings of more than 10 people? It's like all over the country. He wanted to do it on an Indian reservation where the laws don't apply. He wanted to hold a UFC fight in a part of California that is exempt from the laws of the governor that he's able to enforce. So he's apparently trying to convince the Indian nation of, I forget what tribe it is, for them to let him put on the next UFC on the reservation so he can have a gathering. But let's talk about Fight Island, which is the most kick-ass thing ever. I think there was a Jean-Claude Van Damme movie about this. The Quest? Wasn't that what it was, I believe?
Oh, of course. Everyone knows The Quest.
Sure, which was basically a ripoff of the Street Fighter movies. But then Jean-Claude Van Damme started Street Fighter, so I guess he gets a little bit of credit there. So here is Dana White talking about Fight Island.
One of the biggest questions during all of this is, where is the location? Where are these fights taking place?
On ESPN. Live April 18th on ESPN.
Well, that's where people can watch them.
That's
where are
right.
they physically taking place, Dana?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where it's happening because nobody can go anyway. Nobody can show up. Nobody can go. There are some members of the media that have reached out to me that want to go. I'll bring them. Mm-hmm. I'll bring some of these media members that want to go. But other than that, it's not open to the fans, so it's on ESPN. That's it. That's all anybody needs to know.
And why? Why is that? Why? Because, I mean, this has turned into a big story just in terms of, like, how you're able even to pull this off. So why keep the location a secret?
You know, because there's a lot of creepy people out there, you know. And when they find out the location, they start attacking the location and making phone calls. Mm. So this keeps the creeps at bay.
And finding out that there's no fight regulators in that island where they can actually keep it a clean fight and have there be no shenanigans. There's all that, too. You've got to have, like, guys who come in. You know, every state, every country usually has somebody who keeps the fight game clean. Maybe they're just going to a place where it's just a bare-knuckle paradise, much like the movie The Quest with Jean-Claude Van Damme, except without the magic spells that a couple of the guys are involved.
Do you have the audio of the bare-knuckle paradise?
You mean, what was that place called? The one that Jay Stu did? Sure, yeah, I can find that.
The dojo? Because that would probably be a lot like the place that Dana White's talking about.
They probably could. The Rogue House Leather Dojo, I think that's probably.
They sell barrettes.
The Roadhouse Leather Dojo.
Leather Dojo, yes.
I'm sure Mike can find it because I'm having a hard time scrolling through this. But he said that Dana White was talking about give me the specifics on how you're able to do this and keep everybody quarantined. And his whole thing was he's going to get all the fighters in one undisclosed location away from the island. He's going to test all of them and all the trainers. And then in one big group, he's going to bring them over so they can fight on Fight Island, and then everyone's going to be safe because they all travel together and there's nothing that could possibly go wrong. So good for Dana White for at least like trying to figure out something. It's entertaining. It's never going to happen. They're never going to have this Fight Island thing. If they do the thing on the Native American reservation, that's going to be hysterical too, because he just figured out a way to get around all of the laws. Have it there. I don't know how much they're going to pay them off. I have no idea, but God bless him for trying, because he's trying to do anything to keep this thing going. No, did you find it, Mike? Have you found the Rogue House Leather Dojo? Oh, okay. Well, we're having a hard time finding it. So,
well, I mean, it would have been nice. I mean, it's Jace 2 predicted this a long time ago. He is a soothsayer.
He is.
I mean, he did predict that there was a Roadhouse Leather Dojo that was going on. He, by the way, the Calhoun crew helping out the Calhoun by buying lots and lots of their Mai Tai drinks.
Yep, the Mai Tai mix.
Mm-hmm. The Mai Tai mix. Very, very active on social media about the Mai Tai mix.
I think there is a requirement for the Kowloon crew to tweet about how Kowloon does take out 2 to 3 times a day.
Yeah, easily.
And not just the food, but also you can, and they date the juices. So if you get the juice, you know it's fresh juice. The Mai Tai is from, you know, just moments ago. You know that it's there. So, good for the Kowloon. They have brainwashed many, many people in some peculiar way. All right, Rich, what is coming up?
All right, well, we'll get to yesterday. Kevin Garnett spoke, and he doesn't like the owner of the Timberwolves at all. We will get to that.
All right, we'll be right back.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Toucher and
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Don't, you know, be a diva.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
They're very big.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what is going on with Mr. Kevin Garnett?
Well, Kevin Garnett, who, by the way, I thought was really good in Uncut Gems. I know he was himself, but a lot of these guys get in front of a camera and they freeze up and they suck. I mean, listen, not everyone could be Brian Bosworth in Stone Cold, but or Wilt Chamberlain in Conan the Destroyer, which might be the all-time worst acting performance by an athlete. And he had a large role in that film.
Yeah, like, I don't know. Dennis Rodman? Double Team?
Dennis Rodman was better in Double Team with Jean-Claude Van Damme than Wilt Chamberlain was in Conan the Destroyer.
I don't know.
I mean, he was really bad, don't get me wrong, but that was a bad movie. Like, Conan was a big-budget movie that was a sequel to a huge successful film in a massive franchise, and they said, Wilt, you've never acted. Let's just throw you in the middle of all this and have you suck. And we have the second big, I think, like, the second biggest role in the movie outside of Conan. Yeah, he sucked.
Well,
that was the
like
worst.
Schwarzenegger was the epitome of acting skill at the time. I mean, in the first Conan, he could barely speak.
He looked like Marlon Brando, as opposed. And by the way, he was great in Conan for what he was supposed to be, a barbarian. Like, Arnold Schwarzenegger was actually really good.
Well, you're certainly passionate about it. I gotta give you that.
I'm almost as passionate as I am about how bad Wilt Chamberlain was.
What
here.
Do you want?
To come with you.
Be off.
Let me speak to Conan.
I said be off.
I mean, dude, I have to think that you can go to several adult film sites and have better acting than you saw Wilt Chamberlain do right there in that Conan. And that's with, what's her name, Grace Jones, I think? So great acting on either side.
Yeah, there. Grace Jones with the good like 5-year run there where they just put her in movies. Boomerang and what have you. Yeah, yep. She had like a 5-year run.
She was in Vamp. Remember Vamp?
She was in a Bond movie.
Yeah, I forget which one. But
the one where
was
Christopher Walken with the bad. Oh, A View to a Kill. That's what it was called.
That was a pretty good one. One of the better theme songs of a James Bond movie.
Duran, that is a Duran Duran song.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Very, very good song. So you've got Kevin Garnett, who was in Uncut Gems, who I thought was very good. He was talking about, he was being interviewed about, you know, going to the Hall of Fame and how does it feel, and then his time in Minnesota, and dude does not like the owner of the Minnesota Timberwolves. Now, I knew that there was a little bit of weirdness there, but John, were you aware of all of the, like, just how much he didn't like those guys?
I knew he didn't like Glenn Taylor. When it happened, there were a few stories out there about how he was upset, but I didn't realize how angry he was. I mean, to not go back to watch your number be retired, that's a statement and a half, considering he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, he said, I love my Timberwolves. I'll always love my guys. I'll always love the people who F with me there. I'll always have a special place for the city of Minneapolis and the state of Minnesota in my heart, but I don't do business with snakes. I don't do business with snake mother effers. I try not to do business with openly snakes or people who are snake-like. So I would say that he didn't really have a mixed message there. He does not like what's going on there.
He doesn't like reptiles at all.
Not a
I mean,
big
I can
fan
tell you
reptiles.
That. I mean, if I was a snake, I'd be highly offended.
Well,
calling someone you don't like a snake. Mm-hmm. If I'm sitting there and I'm some gardener snake, I'm thinking, hey, you. Why do I got to be the bad guy?
Or even worse, a cold-hearted snake. Don't look into his eyes. Because I tell you what, he's been telling lies.
I mean, you know what, Fred? Back in 1991, you got to know that video pretty well.
I thought it was Promise of a New Day. I thought that was the one.
Promise of a New Day is when they kind of, she was losing it and they stretched it out.
Yeah.
Like the whole video was like stretched out. So like you really couldn't see what she looked like. Straight up was confusing because of Arsenio Hall popping up on it all the time.
Was Opposites Attract the one with MC Scat Cat?
Yes.
Yes.
Which is a very gross name to have.
Yeah. He was a very scatological cat.
Right. He was just, you know, he was obsessed with feces.
It's MC Scat Cat. Everything rhymed with poo. Yeah. It's the best that I can do, Paula. You know I love to poo, Paula.
FC Scat Cat, what are you obsessed with?
Crap.
My first cat was named Scat Cat.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah.
Throwing its feces all over the place.
I used to have a cat.
said, crap.
There you go.
So we've... Oh, crap. Oh, crap. One of the best scenes, Independence Day.
Oh, crap.
Oh, crap.
When you hire Firestar, you know what you're getting. Droll humor. All right, Rich, what do we have coming up here?
Let's get to our bracket. Let's do the bracket. We've been doing this for a while now. Some of our best moments for the people who need it.
All right, we will have that. No commercials here, just the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.